This is the EPCR European Rugby Show at BT Murrayfield Stadium for the first of two bonus podcasts ahead of finals weekend. Today we concentrate on the European Rugby Challenge Cup final, which is Gloucester Rugby against Stade Francais Paris on Friday night. We've all the team news for you, and you'll hear from David Humphries, from Greg Laidlaw and Willie Hines, Gonzalo Quesada, Sergio Parise and Will Genia, who've all been speaking to the media today here in Edinburgh. But Saturday's European Rugby Champions Cup showpiece between Saracens and ASM Clermont-Auvergne will get plenty of mentions too. And don't forget to download our main preview podcast for both finals. Search for the EPCR European Rugby Show on iTunes and on Audioboom. Hello and a very warm welcome to the show from a very sunny BT Murrayfield. I'm Martin Hindley and we have the captain's run playing out in front of us of Gloucester Rugby, one of the competitors, one of the participating teams in our European Rugby Challenge Cup final, which will kick off our treble header of finals weekend here in Edinburgh. I'm joined by EPCRugby.com's Emma Thurston. Emma, first of all, how are you enjoying the Scottish sunshine and anticipation? Definitely growing ahead of this final against Stade Francais Paris.
Well, the sunshine's rather unexpected, I have to say. I was expecting a bit of rain and it being quite cold, so that's a pleasant surprise. I'm really, really looking forward to finals weekend. It's finally here and it's going to be a great weekend with obviously Gloucester and Stade starting off tomorrow night.
The stadium is looking in fine order, the branding already in place, the blues and the purples of the European tournaments, the grass and the whole field looking, in fact, in pristine condition as Gloucester, bedecked, of course, as usual, in cherry and black as far as their training kit goes, play out their captain's run right in front of us. What have you noticed about the atmosphere of the city as we build up to not only this game but also the final of the first ever Continental Shield and then the big one, ASM Clermont-Auvergne against Saracens on Saturday evening?
Well, we went into the Tri Rugby Village earlier, which is on Castle Street and George Street, and already there was a real buzz around it. They were just setting up, the band was sound checking, and it's going to be open for all 3 days. So there was a real feel that there's a massive finals weekend on the way in Edinburgh. And I've seen across our social media channels, all of the Gloucester fans are already on trains on the way up. We've seen lots of selfies, lots of cherry and white shirts, and I'm sure that there'll be plenty of Stade fans making their way over as well. So promises to be a huge weekend, and the city's buzzing already.
Plenty of interest away to our right as well as the media are looking on at this captain's run. When it comes to social media, Emma, can you remind us just how people can keep in touch?
So on Twitter, we need at ER Challenge Cup and the hashtag Finals Edinburgh 2017. We're across Facebook at European Rugby Challenge Cup as well.
Next on this bonus podcast, we'll hear from both the Stade Francais Paris and Gloucester Rugby camps and bring you the team news ahead of Friday's European Rugby Challenge Cup final between Gloucester and Stade Francais.
Check out the Edinburgh 2017 section of epcrugby.com to secure your place for an outstanding rugby experience at BT Murrayfield. With the final of the Challenge Cup at 8 p.m. local time on Friday the 12th of May and the final of the Champions Cup the following day at 5 p.m. local time.
So now let's concentrate on Friday's European Rugby Challenge Cup final here at a glorious BT Murrayfield Stadium, an 8 o'clock kickoff between Gloucester Rugby and Stade Francais Paris. Emma's still here with me and we're both delighted to be joined by BT Sports' Nick Mullins, and we have the team news for the Challenge Cup final match. Nick, what stands out for you for both sides?
Well, I think for Gloucester, the big decision was who to start at nine. Greg Laidlaw's fit, and it would have been fantastic to see him running out, leading the team out ahead of the final, but he won't do that. It will be Willie Hines, and I think every Gloucester supporter listening to this will understand why. Willie's just been brilliant while Laidlaw has been injured over the last couple of months. Laidlaw's not played much rugby. David Humphries was telling us a little earlier that he's not really match sharp for a full 80 minutes at the moment. He'll come off and hopefully close the deal for them, and Hines has been playing so well, he deserves his place as a starter. They've got an injury. It's a significant one, actually, because Jacob Rowan has been playing so well over the course of this season. He's picked up a hamstring, so Lewis Ludlow will start at seven. However, Gloucester's injuries have nothing in comparison to poor old Stad's, and Gonzalo Quesada, when we chatted to him a little bit earlier, spoke for about 5 minutes when he was talking about the injuries in the front row. If you and I were fit, Martin, I think tomorrow we might fancy ourselves for a game. They've gone for Van der Merwe, Bonfils, a new hooker, and Slimini who can hold up a block of flats. So he's going to have to do a tough, tough job tomorrow. But Slimani starts. That's the good news for them. They don't have Pascal Pape, end of his final season, but he was red carded at the weekend, so he's suspended. So no emotional farewell for him in the final. And I guess the other thing to say is they've gone for Jono Ross, soon to be playing with Sale in the Aviva Premiership. Jono Ross will start at seven ahead of Lacafia, pretty much of a muchness, both excellent players, and neither will lose anything in their absence.
Plenty of interest here at BT Murrayfield today, not only in the teams but also in the captain's run and the press conference. Social media reaction, much of that to the teams, Emma?
A little bit, I think, touching on the things that Nick has said in terms of the Gloucester scrum half decision by David Humphreys. I think the balance is that a lot of people are saying actually they've got such depth in that position that when you've got somebody like Greg Laidlaw coming off the bench with the experience that he has, he's the guy that you want at those latter stages, potentially in a tight game. Both coaches spoke about this being an 80-minute match, and that's the talk on social media. It's going to go, a lot of people feel it's going to go right to the wire. So lots of conversation, everybody joining in the finals Edinburgh 2017 hashtag, and also on our Challenge Cup page at ER Challenge Cup. So loads of chat and just what we like on finals weekend.
Well, as you can hear, the final preparations are being put to the playing surface at BT Murrayfield.
This looks amazing, doesn't it? Seriously, I mean, I know we talk about pitches a lot, dull people like me, but this pitch, given that it's had a whole season, just looks astonishing. I think actually it's not Jim, the head groundsman, who's pushing around those fantastic looking lawnmowers, but it does look a picture, Martin, doesn't it? It's such a scene.
It's absolutely sensational. We're really feel privileged to be pitch side today ahead of such a big match. And also, we've had the media conferences here. We've had a lot of the Scottish journalists delighted that, as Nick was saying, Greg Laidlaw spoke at the press conference earlier today. We're going to hear from the Stade Francais camp shortly as well. But first, let's hear from the Gloucester starting captain, Willie Hines, who got the nod at scrum half over Greg Laidlaw.
It's a huge honour. It's been a real pleasure to lead the side throughout the season when Greg's been away. And I'm just really excited to get out there tomorrow night and do my part for the team. And I know that the boys are really up for it. It's been a good week's preparation, and we're just excited to go out there and play our brand of rugby.
And as you heard from Nick, Greg Laidlaw will start on the Gloucester bench.
A big effort tomorrow night. We're playing a quality team, I think, since Stade have had the news they won't be merging. I think they've been playing some good rugby. So we need to put a good performance on the field. If we do that, it's a wonderful track out there. We've just been out and trained, and we've had a good preparation week. So if we take that momentum into the game, we'll give ourselves the best chance of winning. With my injury, the coaches obviously feel the team's quite settled, in terms. So it's been tough for me to get some rugby under my belt with the nature of my injury. So I'll play my part. The boys are so desperate to win tomorrow night because we know what it's like to win it, and a good feeling that comes with it. And then with that, it gives the club an opportunity to get into the Champions Cup as well.
Nick, a predictable decision, I think, judging by your start there to the team analysis to Gloucester's decision at scrum half.
Yeah, I think Emma touched on it, actually. One of the things that Gloucester haven't done particularly well so far this season, particularly in the big games, is to see them out. They did brilliantly in La Rochelle in the semi-final, but it's been an issue for David Humphreys and Johnny Bell, the coaching team, getting themselves in a winning position and managing to squander it. So I think there'll be plenty of Cherry and White fans who see Laidlaw as an option off the bench if they're ahead with 20 minutes to go, as somebody who can lock up the suitcase and carry the trophy home.
And that goes all the way back to round one of the Aviva Premiership and that incredible game against the Leicester Tigers as well. Well, Director of Rugby David Humphreys says that Gloucester's recent performances, including that semi-final win at La Rochelle that Nick mentions, has set his team up well for the final against Stade Francais tomorrow.
One of the things that you look back in the last few weeks, we've been able to adapt our game to who we're playing. When we've needed to keep the ball, we've been able to keep the ball. When we've needed to play field position, we've done that. We've managed to take a little bit of pressure off our set piece at different stages in the games. So we have a template that we know we can bring to the game tomorrow, that we'll need to almost reproduce parts of that La Rochelle game, but also parts of last week against Exeter, when we kept the ball and attacked for long periods. And I honestly believe tomorrow will be about taking those opportunities that we will create.
Emma, your thoughts on Gloucester as a team and on their form at the minute? I mean, David Humphreys mentioned in that press conference about having 5 or 6 weeks' worth of cup finals to prepare for this cup final. Comes it a good time for them, do you think?
I think any cup final has to be a good time. I think the players have to make it the right time. The thing that I find with Gloucester is always that slight question mark over their consistency. We see brilliant performances, but as I think we've all mentioned, final 20 minutes, final quarters can go slightly astray. So that's always the worry that I have. But I think if we see the best of Gloucester and we see them really focus in the latter stages of this competition, the match, then they can take it home and finally, well, get their third trophy. But that's always a question mark that I have, and I'm not 100% sure about whether they'll deliver tomorrow on Friday night. It really depends.
What's on Gloucester, the timing of the match, as you mentioned, with the injuries for Stade Français, it could be a good one for them.
Yeah, I mean, let's say, I think, in fairness, Gloucester season, we'll end with a lot of Gloucester fans happy that it's ending. It's been a challenge for them. There have been some ups and downs. They've been brilliant and abject, often in the same match, sometimes in the same half. It's been one of those seasons. I think we all hope for much more with Gloucester next season. I think the signing of players like Jason Woodward and hopefully Carl Fearn still decides to head to King's Home in the summer. They're building nicely. They've got a new coach in charge. And I just think they'll be going into a new season with some silverware in the cabin. I just fancy them. I just think their fitness, their overall game, the ambition that they're trying to play with at the moment with Johnny Bell, just really stretching things. And if they play a little bit like they played against La Rochelle, David Humphreys saying they'll inject some of what they tried to do against Exeter as well. I just think Stade Français are not a vintage Stade Français at the moment. And with all their injuries, I'd make Gloucester favourites.
This is the EPCR European Rugby Show with Martin Hindley, Emma Thurston, and they're the voice of our guest Nick Mullins from BT Sport. So we've heard from and analysed Gloucester Rugby ahead of the European Rugby Challenge Cup final, and next we'll concentrate on their opponent, Stade Français Paris. And we can hear now from the man in charge. Here's Gonzalo Quesada on his team selection.
It was really tough in some positions. In others, unfortunately, in our first row, we have all our players available selected. It was an easy one because, unfortunately, we have a lot of props that have been injured for months. So it's the only place where it was easy, and second row too. And the backline is the same one that played Bass, the same one that played Racing. So I gave priority more to that fact that they've been training 2 important weeks together. So we knew that this week was going to be really short, and we were not going to do a lot of training. So I put the priority on having the team that know it themselves the more, especially in the backline. So for the moves, the timings, and working together was going to be easier, even if we didn't train much.
As we said, not too many surprises, you could say, but it's also been a tricky few months for Stade Français. And is there a feeling of the inevitable about their arrival here, given what they had to come through against the Ospreys and, of course, in that thrilling semi-final as well, Emma?
I think they've shown a lot of character over the last few months. I mean, I don't think any of them would have ever expected to have a season like this, everything that they've had to deal with off the field, and yet they've secured Champions Cup rugby already for next season and find themselves in a final. So I think it shows a lot of resilience from this side, and obviously led by Sergio Parisse, who is such a talismanic leader, and the spine of the team, that 8, 9, 10 with Parisse, Genia and Plisson, it is a real strength of theirs. So it will come down to a spot of character, but I think they have that, so we'll have to see.
He's been through the mill, hasn't he, Mr. Quesada, in the last few months, as has the club. There's a lot of character inside the club to be here at BT Murrayfield.
I love him. He's one of those coaches that when you're listening to him in a press conference, you think, Gonzalo, what are you doing tonight? Do you fancy going out for a beer? Because actually, he said a lot to my question about was team selection difficult. 15 minutes later, he reached the conclusion, and the answer was, yes, it was difficult. But it was worth listening to him. I just love him. I think the way he's held this place together over the last couple of months, he's off to Biarritz at the end of the season. He's going to be a huge loss for Stad. He's one of those who's been around the game for a long time. He actually got a bit cheesed off. I'm not sure whether we have time to run it in this podcast, but I asked him. I think we're going to hear from Will Genia and from Sergio in a moment about their memories of this place. I forgot to ask Gonzalo about his memories, and he was very quick to chirp up at the end. He said, I'm really disappointed you didn't ask me about Argentina's win here in 1999, which, despite the fact that I think only 5,000 people were inside, it clearly rests warmly in his memory. But yeah, top bloke, and I wish him all the best next season.
Well, as you say, Nick, we're going to hear now from scrum half Will Genier and the Stade Francais Paris captain Sergio Parisse said about their best memories of playing at BT Murrayfield. Parisse coming first.
Well, I said to Gonzalo before winning 2 times here with Italy against Scotland was good memories in 2007 and 2015 personally, and but I lost a few matches as well here, so now hopefully the best memory is going to be tomorrow.
The atmosphere, I mean, as a young kid growing up, you dream about playing in big stadiums like this, and whenever you get the opportunity to come play, it always lives up to expectation. And I've been lucky enough to play test matches here. I've won a few. I've lost one in 2009, which is disappointing, but I think more than anything, it's just the fact that it's an amazing stadium and an amazing atmosphere, and I think they're the good memories that I take away from playing here.
Nick, just is it possible to summarise just how important Sergio Parisse is, not just on the field but off the field at Stade Francais?
Yeah, I think he sets the tone. I think there's a danger with Sergio and with Stade of underestimating what the others offer. It's a big, rugged pack. Emma mentioned Will Genier. I just love watching him. If you're watching the game tomorrow, if you're lucky enough to have tickets and to be here, just watch Genia's pass. It's made of silk and steel. It's quick and it's smooth and it's accurate, and it's what makes Jonathan Danti such a real threat. He's a bowling ball of an inside centre, and he's great because Genia serves it up on a plate for him. So there are lots of players. Gabriel Ag is hard. Bourbon is their turnover monster. Sure, Parisse is the guy we all talk about, and he's the guy that's always in the referee's ear, but they're much more than the Italian captain.
Well, let's get an opposition assessment now of the French challenge, as Gloucester's David Humphreys has been talking about the qualities of this Stade Francais Paris team that he'll line up against tomorrow night.
A club with a very rich history. I've played against them many times. You'll see the quality of player that they'll bring tomorrow, and probably one of the things that you might have said about the Stade team years ago was that if you could get in the lead, they wouldn't necessarily stay in the fight. If you look at their games this season, the European games against Ospreys and then against Bath, when under real pressure, they showed some real character to hold on, win the game with not very much possession. So we know how good they can be with the ball, the quality of player that they have, but we also know now that they've got a real resilience there to fight, possibly because of what's happened over the last few months.
Emma, where do you see the game being won and lost on Friday night?
Oh, tough question. Thanks for throwing me that one. I think there's going to be an element of composure in this game. I think, as with any final, the start is crucial. If one of these sides can get themselves on the up and they're not chasing the game, then that could be the winning factor. Both coaches, as I said, spoke about it going for the full 80. So a spot of composure and the key leadership there. So lots of different elements for this one. I'm not just going to pin it on one.
Nick, a specific area of the pitch that could be crucial for you?
Well, if I had to pick one, I might go for Slimani against Honick in the scrum. That'll provide the foundation. But I think game management will be absolutely key. It always is on big nights like final nights. We've talked about the scrum halves, Hines and Genia. So how about Billy Burns, who's just had an outstanding season coming through? He's taken his opportunity. He's up against Jules Plisson, who can be either brilliant or sometimes less than brilliant. But I think the way they control their team around this big, immaculate, manicured Murrayfield pitch in the final will be maybe the big key.
And Nick, a prediction, Gloucester Stade Francais?
I think it'll be close, but I expect that if Gloucester's big players show up for 80 minutes, then they'll just have too much.
It's Gloucester Rugby against Stade Francais Paris at BT Murrayfield, 8 p.m. kickoff local time on Friday, the 12th of May. You can see it on BT Sport with Nick and Sky Sports in the UK, beIN Sport and also France Télé in France. Nick, before we let you go, we can't really avoid Saturday's showpiece, ASM Clermont-Auvergne against Saracens. First of all, what are you expecting? And then we'll pop the big question for you.
Oh, well, I'm already married, Martin, so I'm afraid the answer's going to have to be no on that one.
But distraught, by the way.
Well, the two best teams have got to the final. I'm not sure that anybody would argue with that. I love the way Clermont have gone about their business this season. The pressure has been on them from the opening match of the pool stages, because we've all been wondering if this might be their season. So hats off to Clermont for playing with a real elan and those fantastic supporters that they have at the Marcel Michelin. I hope to see thousands of them here on Saturday. But I think Saracens are at the moment on a slightly different level to everybody else. I was lucky enough to be in Dublin for the semi-final against Munster. Nobody's put Munster to bed quite like Saracens put them to bed on that Saturday at the Aviva. So I just think it has to be Saracens. They've got too much know-how. They know how to win these big games. And I know poetically and from a neutral's perspective, there'll be lots of people who hope it's Clermont's day, but Saracens don't do poetry. They don't do romance. They win big rugby matches, and they know how to do it better than anybody else at the moment.
Thanks, Nick. And in managing to answer the big question, you managed to make me avoid asking the one that you didn't want. So well done. Thank you very much to BT Sports, Nick Mullins, for joining us on the EPCR European Rugby Show.
Remember, you can watch highlights from the Challenge Cup and Champions Cup knockout round matches presented by Heineken, available 12 hours after the final whistle. Head to epcrugby.com for more information.
Well, we're now backstage at BT Murrayfield, where the final preparations are being put together, not only for the final of the European Rugby Challenge Cup, but also, as you can hear, for the final of the Continental Shield and the big one on Saturday evening. And that is, of course, as Nick was mentioning just there, the Champions Cup final between Saracens and ISM Clermont-Auvergne. There'll be another bonus podcast tomorrow when we'll go through plenty more on that match. And here's just a quick taster of what a couple of famous former players had to say about that big occasion in our main preview podcast earlier this week.
Player for player, I think you'd have to go with Clermont in terms of ability and playing wise. I just think it's just a mental thing this weekend, this how to win them games and finish them off.
They're a tough French team to play against because they work hard, they've got good players and they've got great skills, so they can hurt you at any time and they will push you till the very final minute. I'm obviously going to say Saracens are going to win this one comfortably, but I think in the back of my head, I think it's going to be extremely, extremely tight.
That was former Saracens forward Jack Berger, and before him, Clermont old boy Lee Byrne. Don't forget to download our full finals weekend preview podcast with James Burridge, with Tom May, and with Emma, of course, by searching for the EPCR European Rugby Show on iTunes and Audio Boom. You'll also hear interviews there with Champions Cup final referee Nigel Owens, 100 up in the European Cup for him on Saturday evening, Gloucester's John Afoa, and the former Northampton winger Vasily Artemyev, who's playing in the European Rugby Continental Shield final here on Saturday lunchtime as the captain of Krasnyar. Another feature of finals weekend will be the crowning of the EPCR European Player of the Year for 2017, presented by Turkish Airlines. After the Champions Cup final, the award winner will be presented with 1 million air miles, courtesy of tournament partners Turkish Airlines. The list is down to 5, 2 from Saracens, that's Owen Farrell and Maro Itoje, 1 from ISM Clermont-Auvergne, that's Camille Lopez, 1 from Leinster Rugby, Gary Ringrose, and 1 from Munster Rugby, an exceptional season for CJ Stander. Well, we'll tell you how to pick your winner in just a moment, with the vote closing just 15 minutes before the actual presentation. Of course, Farrell, Itoje and Lopez have one final chance to impress you with their performances in the European Rugby Champions Cup final at BT Murrayfield. I know we've heard a little bit from you this week, Emma. You have sat on the fence at times about your European Player of the Year. What are your thoughts now as we're approaching the eve of the Champions Cup final?
Well, I think that means I have to make a decision, doesn't it, Martin?
It certainly does. Off that fence.
I'm totally off that fence. From a European Player of the Year perspective, I think you can't look too far past Owen Farrell. The performances that he puts in for Saracens in every single round, he's led them around the park, his goal kicking's exceptional, and he's just a real competitor. We, on the podcast, we looked at 5 words for each player.
You looked at 6.
I looked at a few more than 5 on occasion, but one of those words for Owen Farrell, I believe, was competitor, winner, all of those things. He is a talisman, like we were talking about Sergio Parisse for Stade Francais Paris. I think that Owen Farrell does the same for Saracens. He really leads them around the park, so he's my pick.
If Tom May is listening right now, I know that he's laughing wherever he is. But the public vote is now open to pick the winner. Go to epcrugby.com/Player of the Year 2017 or the European Rugby Champions Cup Facebook page to register your selection. You can check their stats, watch match videos on epcrugby.com if it helps you to make your choice. And if you vote, you'll stand a chance of winning outstanding prizes, including 2 return tickets offered by Turkish Airlines up to €1,500 in value. So good luck with that.
You're listening to the EPCR European Rugby Show.
So we're looking forward to a tremendous climax to the European rugby season in Edinburgh. And once finals weekend is done, there's something else for you to get involved in. And that is to vote for your European Rugby Champions Cup try of the season. For Monday the 15th of May, you can make your pick from all the weekly round winners. And you never know, there might be one or two added to the shortlist from the Champions Cup final as well. Head to epcrugby.com and the tournament's official social media channels for more details. Emma, you've been out and about around in the centre of Edinburgh today.
Yes, I went down to our Try Rugby Village and caught up with the event host, Joe Wilson, who told me what people can expect to find in the fan zone. It's located on Castle Street and George Street and well worth a visit over the next few days.
Oh, we have got so much going on here right in the centre of Edinburgh. The sun is shining, I'm very pleased to see, so come on down over the next few days. We've got loads of activities going on. It's all hosted by Turkish Airlines, so they've got a stand. Visit Scotland are here as well if you want to learn more about this beautiful city of Edinburgh and the country of Scotland. There's live music on a big stage that we've got going on, so you can come down and enjoy that. There's plenty of rugby-related activities as well, so if you want to get involved with trying our little tough rugger obstacle course, which we've had a little look at earlier, it does look quite tough but a lot of fun at the same time, and we've just been basking in the beautiful deck chairs and bean bags that are all set up in this beautiful sunshine as well.
Fantastic. And obviously we've got the Challenge Cup final on the way first. How much are you looking forward to that?
I'm really looking forward to it. I was a little bit disappointed no Scottish teams involved over the weekend, but great to see Gloucester and Greg Laidlaw there after recovering from that ankle injury that took him out of the Six Nations, and after his Lions late call up into the Lions squad as well. It's fantastic to see him involved. But yeah, I'm just really looking forward to it. The atmosphere at any rugby event is fantastic, and particularly, not that I'm biased, but particularly at BT Murrayfield here in Edinburgh.
That's all we've got time for on this EPCR European Rugby Show bonus podcast. Thanks to today's guest, Nick Mullins, who'll be commentating on the Challenge Cup final for BT Sport. Finals weekend here at BT Murrayfield starts with the European Rugby Challenge Cup final, Gloucester Rugby against Stade Francais Paris at 8 p.m. local time on Friday the 12th of May. And then it's ASM Clermont-Auvergne against the holders Saracens in the European Rugby Champions Cup final here at 5 p.m. on Saturday, May the 13th. In between times, don't forget that you can squeeze in the Continental Shield. That's an all-Siberian affair, Krasnyar and Yenisei. That's at midday on Saturday. And you can watch the weekend's action via Sky Sports, via BT Sport, beIN Sport, France 2 and France 4. Plus, remember to go to epcrugby.com for all the stats and facts on both finals, and you'll be able to catch the highlights and the very best of the images there as well. Remember to send us your thoughts and predictions to @ChampionsCup and @ERChallengeCup on Twitter using the hashtag ChampionsCup. And also on our Facebook pages, search for European Rugby Champions Cup and European Rugby Challenge Cup. There'll be another bonus pod along tomorrow, but for now, from Emma Thurston and myself, Martin Hindley, it's time to say goodbye.